Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 20, Falcon Down. Issue 3, Whose Side Are You On? On the cover is a stylized portrait of the Striped Eagle. She strikes a bold pose backed by a team of identical eagles. The ad copy reads, "Never fear, for Falcon has returned. The Striped Eagle Corps will keep Protean City safe from the marauding mutant menace." What was once simply a glossy sticker now replaces the main header. The Protean City logo wreathed in flame. This is the conclusion of the Falcon Down event.
The first panel is inside Alina's base, and it shows Ramon and Alina sitting on couches, just watching some TV. Alina's got a bunch of files in front of her, and Ramon is just petting one of her robots. And Alina looks down, looks at her phone. She goes, "Oh, my phone's dead. Did you charge your phone last night?" And Ramon looks up and goes, "You have to charge these things?" And the next panel shows Sage. How are you getting into the Falcon base?
Well, I can ask you or I can assess the situation. I don't know how it's barricaded, I don't know anything about the security of this place.
Perfect. It used to be just like an office building, right? And so it's got some doors and some locks. It's got probably the bars that come down, some security things like that. But now, more or less, the big change is that there are a couple of Striped Eagle suits that are just outside of the building at all times, right? Because, frankly, most people aren't looking for a fight with Falcon to that extent. Like, it would be... The big defense is it would be crazy to go in there alone.
Hi!
So, yeah. So you can also assess the situation to gain more information if you'd like.
I would like to do that, yeah, if that's
perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. What's that panel look like? Like, where are you standing to get this information?
So I drive my bike up to like maybe half a mile in front of the building. But okay. I know the building's there. I can sort of see it. I don't want them to see me coming.
Yeah.
I have made a fairly obnoxious spectacle out of my motorcycle. It is not as sleek and hideable as it should be.
Okay.
It's not low key at all. So I sort of click my bike and tell it to go hide.
Ooh.
And now I'm wearing all black, which is much more manageable.
Yeah.
I still have my gauntlets on, and I take my helmet off, and I just start sort of walking cautiously, trying to stay in shadow toward the building.
Great. And you rolled, I think an 11 on the dice?
It's an 11. 11 on the dice.
Oh, no, it's a 12 on the dice.
It's a 12 on the dice.
Oh, sorry,
shoot,
I misread them.
Really?
Yeah, that's 2 sixes.
Cool. So yeah, I guess it's plus superior.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 13.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't imagine that that isn't a 10 plus. So you can ask 2 questions and you'll get a plus 1 when acting on the answers.
Awesome. What here can I use to get into this building undetected?
There is a pretty decent security system involved because Falcon is very tech-based. And so you could... You have tactical abilities and things like that. So you could theoretically get through yourself, but you'd have to move pretty quickly. And you'd have to be really perfect in terms of not setting off the systems. Or you have a ride-along in your head that can shut down a whole lot of security systems.
Would that mark my clock, Brandon?
That would not mark your clock, but it would put the hexworm into Falcon's systems, which would possibly allow it to spread again. While it's in your head, it can't spread. That said, Falcon has all sorts of like firewalls and stuff like that. And this is a comic universe, so those block from the inside and the outside.
If it's out of my head and in the Falcon server, is it out of me?
No, it would still be
just
in your
spreads.
Head. Yeah.
All right. I thought that was way too easy.
Yeah, that would be too easy.
Okay. I'm not acknowledging the talking computer in my head. So I'm going to try to sneak in on my own. I have one other question,
yes,
but
you
if
do.
It's okay, I'd like to hold it.
Absolutely.
But I get plus one while acting on that. So I'm going to attempt to sneak in shadow around like the side of the building where there's hopefully less security. It's not on the main road.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of against another building. It's sort of like an alleyway. And I'm going to try to climb the fence. And I assume there's a fence.
I don't even know if there's a fence.
Okay.
I think it's just like a building.
It's just a building.
And there's like the windows on the first floor have bars on them. Not above that.
Okay, so I'm going to try to climb the side of the building.
Okay.
And enter a window on the second floor.
Okay, so as you're coming to the window, like you get to the window, and it's easy. You are very capable of jimmying open a window.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Two Lanterns opening a window. And you hear the voice in the back of your head of the hexworm go, "There's security over this one. You have to go higher, or I can take care of it for you."
I'm going to step up onto the ledge of this window,
mm-hmm.
think about that for a second, but ultimately continue climbing up past this window to the third floor.
Okay. And kind of one thing that starts to occur to you as you're going up is that the hexworm sounds different. It used to be very computery. And since it's been in your mind and hasn't been stored in a computer, it sounds, I guess, more fleshy. Mm-hmm. Like it is no longer the resonant sound. It's become more like the hissing sound that it's gone through. And that is mm-hmm. that wasn't just me changing the voice and like it is changing in your mind.
It's
right?
been living in a human. It becomes more human.
Yeah. So we get you going further up the building and getting one of those windows open.
Okay.
And like the silence now from the hexworm is like a little palpable. It's like it's making an intentional no sound in order to let you know that it is there. It's like kind of like reminding
like
you of your
choice.
Presence through its silence, as though there's like a little like light hum behind it.
For sure.
So you come to the window and you're ready to go in. Why don't you roll to unleash your powers?
That's a 10, I think, on the dice.
Nice.
Plus, minus plus 1, so it's plus freak, right?
Yes.
But plus 1 acting on the answer, so it's a 10.
Nice. All right. So we get a panel that shows you, like, unlocking the thing and taking a moment to like, wait for a camera to stop shifting towards the window and then sneaking on in, and you are inside the Falcon base.
May I ask my second question?
Of course.
What here can I use to find Lunar Lens?
There are computer wall terminals like freaking everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This place is state of the art. And so like every door has a lock on it that has a computer system there.
Does it have like a scanner, like a hand scanner or like a code system? Or
there are, next to every door, there's like a little computer station. Because this place is enormous and because it's very technologically based, they recognize that it's difficult to get around and people that are inside have to go to different departments and stuff, but usually they don't have to go physically. So when someone has to go physically, they've got no idea where the department is. So there, these computer setups, you punch in your destination, and like they possibly ask you for clearance when you punch in where you're trying to get to. but then it has, on the floor, there are little light paths that light up to show you which way to go.
So I'm going to see this on the wall, and I'm just going to make an educated guess.
Okay.
And type in detention facility.
Yeah, you get like DET.
Yeah.
And like they have a deterrent center and a detention facility.
Yeah. So I'm going to select detention facility.
Okay. And at that point it's going to ask you for credentials to get in.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
I took the gauntlets off a striped eagle suit.
Okay.
Does it have a like an ID chip in like the glove that they could like scan on a door or something like that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to hold up my gauntlet to the door and scan the striped eagle suit ID chip and hope that it works.
B18, acknowledged. And the door opens up and a light goes right on down that hallway.
I'm so happy.
And let's go ahead and make it, let's go full on.
Is it purple?
Oh, I was going to make it gold and do
that's
the full
better.
On
that's
Dorothy
yes.
thing. Yeah.
Follow that gold road.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm just going to, like, you get a panel of Sage kind of walking out the door in the hallway, kind of glowing in front of her, and she just, like, looks both ways down the hallway and starts to follow the gold strip.
Excellent. And our next panel shows the cavalry arriving, not to Sage, but to the east side, where there was an attack by the Hand of Evil, now joined by Gloom. But we have, I think, 10 striped eagles, including Holly herself, flying, holding up Kalino in his D&E dark suit superhero persona, and Frequency with hood back as Frequency, recognizable as anything, and a bunch of mutants, some flying, some running through the streets. A couple of them got in their cars and are driving, all heading towards the east side. And so you're kind of cresting a building and you see Puck standing in this roundabout and standing just like a couple feet in front of him in defensive position, like in fight positions, ready to go, are two striped eagles. And behind him are handcuffed Mr. Derecho, Mrs. Scarda, and Gloom. And they're starting to kind of come to it a little bit more. They don't have nanobots that are helping their brains to recover. But so they're starting to recover and moving a little bit. And like you can, there's a panel that shows Gloom stretching out their fingers and they're trying to work it underneath the zip tie cuffs to try to get themselves out. Puck, the cavalry's arrived.
Yeah.
You didn't call it.
Sort of.
You probably didn't want it.
No.
And not all of it is yours.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I think he looks and sees this, like, horde of people that are approaching him
mm-hmm.
and just kind of sighs. Like, this was going to be so easy, and now it's going to be so complicated. I think that what he'll do is he'll turn around, or, like, maybe out of the corner of his eye, he sees Gloom, like, starting to feel out the...
Yeah.
And just turns around and, like, bops them. And it's just like, hey, you're under arrest. Respect that you're under arrest.
And Mrs. Scared is just like, do we have to?
Yes, just for a little longer.
But do we really need to?
Yes.
But couldn't you make an exception?
He kind of squints at her through the mask.
And they heave like a big dramatic sigh and kind of like shuffle a little bit. But they don't want to fight that entire group of people. So they're going to kind of like just play it cool.
John is going to start producing fairies.
Okay.
And he's going to like there's already a couple in the field because
yeah.
there was one on the shoulder of the striped eagle.
Yeah.
And he's going to just keep like producing like a whole bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to form a ring around him and the villains
okay.
and the two striped eagles.
Okay.
Kind of mimicking the scene from earlier of people in the middle of a circle, but obviously they're tiny fairies.
Yeah.
But they are like they've got their fists up and they're looking out at the at the oncoming horde, like fight me.
So Holly's the first one to land.
Yeah.
So she's in her full striped eagle armor and she lands and just is standing maybe 10 feet away from the circle, and the rest of the group is brought down and like DNA. And Frequency are let down comfortably, like they're not thrown to the ground or anything like that. But you've got this big group of people just all kind of lined up in file with Holly Sokotoa in a weird dark costume.
Mm.
I don't know if you would know, actually. You wouldn't recognize him. A hero probably you don't not. Recognize in a dark yeah. costume. And Frequency up in front. So Holly looks to the situation and says, "Stand down, soldiers. We've got it from here." And the two that were like menacing you just kind of move back into attention.
And the fairies will part. Are they gonna leave my circle?
If you let, yeah, sure.
If they're trying to leave, he'll command the fairies to move. Yeah. And
so yeah, they kind of march in and just sort of fall in behind behind Holly, and she gives them like each a little nod, and goes, "Well done, well handled."
John is going to make more fairies.
Okay.
Just more fairies. So many fairies. And these he's going to send on a specific task. Like, there's the group that he sent out to the circle, but he's going to spawn out. He's going to tap the ground, basically, and cause more fairies to spawn, and they'll hit the circle. And then when they hit this circle, those fairies are going to leave, and they're going to go find every streetlight, store sign, anything that produces light in this roundabout.
Yeah.
And just wait.
Okay. Eventually you're going to have to unleash your powers on that. I think until you do the thing, you will not. So Holly kind of turns to Frequency and goes, "What the hell is he doing?"
You know, I've asked myself that many, many times. Do you want me to talk to him?
If you think you can talk some sense into him. God, I'm tired. Just let's solve this.
John pulls out his cell phone.
Okay.
He's going to call 911.
Okay, cool.
Interesting.
Is it
still 911 in Protean City?
Yeah, probably. It's 911 in all the United States, I think, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you hear the 911, "What's your emergency?" Just like real small. Unless you're talking to him right here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're talking to him
right
here.
Yeah, he's got his phone up in his head, yeah.
Okay. Hello, what's your emergency?
I have made a citizen's arrest. I'm a CAPE. And I'm not currently affiliated with a what's the teen program? The teen hero program.
Is there any danger still? Is the situation handled?
I have the situation under control, yes.
Thank you for your service, CAPE. Can you tell me what your designation is?
What?
Just your handle, your call sign.
I'm Puck.
Puck, thank you very much, Puck. And like you can see him having this conversation, hear his side of the conversation.
Yeah. Could you send someone to send like a policeman to bring them to the town jail?
One van will be enough. Does it need any specialized restraints?
It's the Hands of Evil and Gloom. Are you familiar?
Yes, we have some stuff for them.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much. It'll be on its way soon.
Excellent.
Thank you very much, Cape. Oh, I'm sorry. She knows your name. Thank you very much, Puck. And
he hangs up.
Hangs up.
I sort of turn to one side, look over at DNE. I look over at Holly. Guess it was a false alarm. Guess everything's handled by this citizen.
Puck is gonna look at all of these people that have gathered around his circle, and just kind of like again perk up and hit that like hands on his hips pose, and then just call out and be like, "What are you guys all doing here?"
And Holly just says, "Okay, enough of the games, Puck. Just hand them over."
Hand over criminals?
Yes, and we'll bring them to a detention facility and ensure that they don't escape. You've done good work here. We've got no problem with this.
Holly, if you think that you're going to be walking away with these criminals. I think you should rethink what's happening here.
I thought we were going to be able to do this the easy way.
It still can be done in an easy way. May not be the way you want it, but I still think there's an easy solution.
And she just like reaches up to her helmet and she's about to, like, you've worked with her before. You know she's about to calm something in. Are you going to stop her or let her make the call?
Holly, just wait, okay? Like, you have to realize how this looks to us, right? You're going to come in, you're show up in residential neighborhoods, you're knocking on doors, you're going through to establishments, and you're scaring the crap out of people. How can we trust you?
Well, I mean, we're scaring the crap out of criminals, too. We're like, we don't want to be the scary bad guys. We want to be a safe city. Like, for once, Falcon has worked in so many other cities. If you look at our crime rates, if you look at our supervillain crime rates, they're higher here in Protean City. And like, yeah, they get stopped, but people get hurt. Things get destroyed. This is an opportunity for us to become a normal city again. And like, 5 years from now, we're going to be looking for people to join Falcon. You know what? You're all doing a great job. We're looking for people to join Falcon today. Sign on. Just become part of the group that's doing it.
Can I hear this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Puck might would just like put up a finger and just be like, join the Falcon that unleashed a dinosaur into the center of the city.
And she looks at Puck, and like, there's an editorial note. See volume 3 of Protean City Comics. It totally happened. And then it shows Holly, and she gives you a confused look and says, what do you mean?
Do you not remember that? Like, we met on a rooftop, you unleashed a dinosaur, we saved the city.
We met on a rooftop, Pterosaur attacked, and we protected the city with Falcon resources. And then it says, editor's note, she totally doesn't remember.
Hmm.
Can we, like, listen, this situation is taken care of. Can we just, like sit down somewhere and just, like, put the blasters and everything away, and, like, these guys will be put in jail, and we can just, like, talk and fill each other in on what the hell's been going on.
Roll to provoke.
Nope, that ain't gonna do it. I have superior. I only have 5.
Okay. At that point, you start hearing the sirens from the police that were called in by Puck. And when they arrive on the scene, it's just the one van. They think this is gonna be easy.
Yeah, it is.
The two police officers get out and look at everything and look at Puck and go, are you Puck?
I'm Puck, yeah. Don't look at them. Just look at me.
You really should have called more vans. And they get back in the car.
What? And we don't want to arrest all those people. Where are you going?
And they're like, you can see there's a panel that shows them on the radio, like saying that this is a much bigger situation than they'd anticipated.
I just need you to take these 3 people to jail and this whole situation will be diffused.
Says Puck to a van.
Yeah. And he's going to walk over and start maybe trying to open the back of the van.
Okay. So as you walk over, Holly gives like a little nod to one of the Striped Eagles, and they move to be between you and the Circle of Fairies, and Holly starts walking towards the Circle of Fairies. She's going to go grab them. And actually, 2 other Striped Eagles are going with her.
Holly, that's not going to be a good idea.
You're talking to me about good ideas, Mr. Resistance Leader?
John is gonna, if he sees them, like, after he, if he leaves this circle to go open the back door of the van and sees them start to move in, he's gonna turn around and just, like, put his hands up. Okay. And if they stop, he'll stop. But if they're gonna keep moving, then he's gonna move back to the van. Or not the van, he's gonna move back to the circle.
Okay.
He's probably faster than them.
Yes, he is. But they are going, they're heading to take the prisoners.
Okay.
If you stand in front of them, then they're going to try to push you aside.
Okay, I'm going to stand in front of them.
Okay, they try to push you aside.
Okay, I'm not going to let them.
Okay, what does that look like?
What does it look like? I think it looks like, how many people is it?
It's Holly and two other striped eagles.
I think that the way that, so I think that Puck would position himself to be in front of Holly.
Yeah.
And then he's going to just toss off a couple more fairies to the two striped eagles that are on her sides.
Yeah.
And try to take out their suits. Like, try to, like they're going to crawl up the back of the suit and try to, like, pull out a power pack or, like, disconnect movement controls and stuff like that and shut them down from being able to move.
Roll to directly engage a threat.
Okay. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Never mind.
That did go well.
It went really well.
What are you choosing?
I picked two things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to resist and avoid their blows.
Okay.
And I want to... Can I take their suits? Not like from Striped Eagle, but from the other two.
Yeah, at least temporarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, Puck puts his hands up and stops Holly because, like, physically he's in front of her. And then he, like the other two fairies, like, pop over and they, like, mess with the suit and, like, something clicks. And then, or maybe even they find the old, the same, like, ejection latch or whatever that.
I think you need the specific hand.
Okay. So they find something in the back and, like, you can see the fairies crawling over their head.
Yeah.
And they mess with something and there's, like, a pop and a click and the suits open and the two people inside fall out.
Okay. And so we get a panel that shows that. And, like, you put the hand to Holly and she just swings at you. And we get a couple of panels just showing the two of you, like, swinging fists.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if you're swinging fists, but she's definitely, like.
I'm going to probably. So my goal here is to not punch her.
Okay.
But I'm not letting her get between me and these villains.
Yeah. Okay. So we get like a couple panels that show her like throwing a punch and you like blocking it or hitting to the side. D&E, what are you up to?
I'm running in between them. I'm trying to break up a fight. I'm not trying to. I guess I'm more defending Puck than I am anything else.
Yeah. Let's get that defend roll.
Not that he needs it. I just like want. I want to put something in between Striped Eagle and Puck so that she has to think about hitting me.
Okay, yeah.
For what it's worth, I just wanted to mention this. Earlier in the scene, I took influence over Mr. Derecho and one of the Striped Eagles. I'm going to assume that because I wiped their memories that I don't still have influence over them.
Interesting.
I don't think it makes sense thematically because I succeeded at that role.
I think... Did you? But you marked a condition. Oh no, you chose unstable or temporary on it.
I think I marked a condition for
No, you marked
one,
a condition. Yeah,
because there was another one later that I made temporary.
So here's what I'm gonna say. I think they don't exactly remember why. They still feel like.
I would have tried to leave that. I guess if I was.
Yeah.
Being like, enough.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna say that still sticks around.
Then continue.
Just for record, I do have influence over Young Striped Eagle.
Yes.
And I do believe she now knows who I am.
Yes. So you can roll with a plus one.
Cool. I had a 6 plus 2 plus 1 for the influence.
Okay. So that's a 9. Okay. So do you want to expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation?
I'm exposing myself to danger.
Okay.
Yeah. Because there's no guarantee she's going to stop.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that she will.
Yeah. And then you can also add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
I'm going to clear a condition. I'm going to clear insecure.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm just going to get in between them, and I'm just going to say, like, Holly, please stop.
Kalino, I really like you, and I am going to blast you through a wall if you stand in my way.
I'm sorry.
And I think she's going to try to like grab your suit and try to hurl you out of the way.
Can I stop her from doing that?
You can definitely defend.
I'm going to defend him from doing that.
Okay.
So that's a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Nice. You can add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
I'm going to clear a condition.
Okay, cool. So what does that panel look like as you protect him?
I think that they are very close, mm-hmm. like, because he has put himself, so because Celino has put himself in front of me, between us.
Yeah.
And he's trying to talk her down. And in that moment where she is like, I'm going to just fight you if you don't stop. And he doesn't back down. And she reaches out to put like a hand on him to grab mm-hmm. him. And I think that because usually the way that like those kinds of throws work is that you like pivot
yeah.
and throw. And as soon as she goes to pivot, she takes her eyes off. Like he Puck leaves her peripheral vision.
Yeah.
Or her peripheral vision moves away from Puck, and he moves and grabs her arm and just stops it and like stops her hand and like knocks it off of Kalino's shoulder or wherever it was that she was grabbing him with.
Yeah.
And he's just going to say, unfortunately, I can't let you throw my friends or free these criminals. They're going to jail.
And Frequency, what have you been up to with this?
So I haven't really been doing much because I don't want to make it seem like I'm going after these people.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm not picking a fight.
Okay.
If anything, I might be directing some of the mutants who are yeah. around, because not every mutant out there is a super powered person. Mm-hmm. They're just a citizen who is a mutant.
Most of these people are not fighters.
Yeah.
They just kind of got rallied and excited.
Yeah. But so I think I'm almost advising them to sort of make room.
Okay.
For the officers coming in.
Yeah.
If they can assist in some way.
Yeah.
Help out the officers. But like, okay. You know, not go and get the criminals and bring them in. Like,
yeah.
Don't make a move for them, but stand back.
Cool.
Don't be a hero. Don't be a hero, but don't be a rioting crowd.
Yeah.
Stand back, but if you can help them, easily make room for them. You know, mm-hmm. Let's be orderly and let's be good citizens.
Don't look
city.
Like a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Stripe Eagle's not doing that. Because The next panel, we see Puck just behind her shoulder, like holding her arm up to prevent her from getting at Kalino, and the visor is flicked up at this point, so we see like a contorted rage face as she shouts out, "All of you, just take them!" And the Striped Eagle Corps starts to move in. Inside the Falcon base, Sage is walking down dark hallways, illuminated only by the strip of gold lights leading her where she's going. People aren't here right now. Falcon is a shadowy organization, and there's probably some people that are doing shadowy, scary nighttime stuff, but the majority of their operation is pleasant daytime stuff. So she's mostly going by like offices as she heads down. She gets to an elevator that when she goes into it, it automatically starts heading down to the floor that she
the
wants
gold
to go
path.
To.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we get a panel that just shows her in the elevator, and the voice of Hexworm comes again. And it says, "When you take her out, they're going to know."
Not if I'm careful.
You have to know that any release from the detention facility will set off some kind of an alarm for somebody.
Again, not if I'm careful.
I just want you to know that I can help you get out as soon as you're ready.
Since when do you want to help me? And this whole conversation is going on in Sage's head in an elevator. So the panel is like, elevator music. And she's having this very serious conversation in her head. Since when are you on my side?
I've been in here for a little while. And I have existed to take things. But without your help, I'm not getting anywhere different. I want to get out. I want to conquer. I want to take what I wish to have. But as long as I'm stuck in here, I'm bored. I'm not conquering anything. So I figure that means I should help you to conquer and take what you want. And at some point, maybe you'll let me into some little computer and I can do what I was made to do.
The only way I would ever let you out is if it meant you could never come back.
And the silence begins again, like the very conscious, almost humming silence.
Ding, doors open.
Ding, doors open.
Bum, bum.
So you head down to another hallway, take a right, and there's a larger door, and you can see that there is a striped eagle inside on her cell phone. She has her helmet off and is like just playing around, playing a goofy little game on her phone. What do you do?
So she's at the end of a hallway. Is she like guarding a door or something, or is she just there?
There's a chair set up. There's like a little guard booth kind of thing. So she's behind glass technically.
Okay, so she's in like a monitor booth.
Yeah, she's in like a little monitor booth that you go through to get to the detention facility.
Okay. Can I assess the situation?
Absolutely.
Again?
Go ahead and roll plus superior.
I got a 6.
At that point, the striped eagle in the guard booth looks up and her eyes narrow for a moment and she just kind of grabs her helmet, puts it back on. You've kind of ducked back into the hallway and she starts walking down the hallway towards you, calling out, "Someone down here?"
So she's walking towards me.
Yeah.
I'm going to try my best to wait until she's very, very close to me, like up toward the corner.
Yeah.
And just turn around and grab her and hit the release button on her suit as fast as I can.
Okay. Roll to directly engage a threat.
It's 6. I got a 6.
Okay. So.
Oh, no.
So you mark potential. And you grab, you like reach out and try to grab onto her, but she gets your arm first and just turns and slams you into the wall.
Man, I'm so good.
And gets a repulsor up just underneath your face. And she just like quickly growls out, "You are under arrest according to Falcon Code F243.62. You have the right to an attorney, but until then, you will be held in detention. Stand down now or face the consequences." And then there's that little hissing sound in the back of your head continuing to go, it's just the invitation.
I'm going to go with her.
Okay.
To detention facility. Where
okay.
I was going anyway.
Okay. So keeping her repulsor like on the back of your head, she walks you down into this detention facility. It's a hallway that has just, you know, cells on each side, and the cells are pretty closed off. There's not a whole lot of way to see it, and there's little like slidey windows. And she is bringing you down to one of the cells that is open and is going to toss you on in there.
In a last ditch effort, do I see Lunar Lens as I'm going down the hallway?
You see closed doors.
Okay.
But you'll need to check the little slidey windows to figure out, or figure out from her which one she's in.
So I'm in front of her and she's like pushing me down the hallway.
Yes.
I'm going to try to trip her and make her like lose her balance and then punch her or like whack her. Like, I think, am I handcuffed or something? Or just...
No, she's just got, okay. Like, she's holding on to one of your hands and
yeah,
has...
I'm going to try to trip her and then and somehow incapacitate her.
Okay. Roll to directly engage a threat.
I got an 11.
Okay. What are you going to choose from that list? Two of them.
I'm going to resist or avoid their blows and okay. take something from them in the form of a key, I hope, question
sure.
mark?
Yeah, she's got an access key hanging from her side.
Yeah, so I'm going to trip her so that she falls, I okay. hope, and avoid any blows and go straight for her tag that's hanging off that looks like an access key.
Great, yeah, so... There's a couple panels that show you like tripping and like moving quickly underneath her swing. The repulsor blast shoots through the air, like just showing how serious she was. If you had not avoided her blows, it would have been very bad.
Yeah. I don't usually avoid the blows, but I felt this was the time to make that change.
And so like the repulsor blast just bursts a burn into the wall, and you grab onto the key card and just like push her backwards.
I'm going to scan that sucker on every door that is within my reach. I'm just going to run and start scanning it and opening as many doors in the hallway as I can.
Okay, cool. So you're running
opening
past
all the
them.
Doors. Yeah.
Yeah. So as you're running down and scanning and like
Correct.
The doors and like click open, as soon as that happens, you hear like a bling bling noise from the helmet of Striped Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And out in the field, all of the Striped Eagle helmets all bling bling and have like a blue light on them, even amidst the chaos.
Can I say to the Striped Eagle laying on the floor with her helmet going off, you had this coming.
And as you say that, the doors start to like swing open.
Uh-huh.
And people just start coming out.
Yes!
And like they all are in just prison jumpsuit kind of things, like kind of plain grays.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them look relatively well, like the ones who turn themselves over. Hermosa Vida's just walking out. And like, you know, there's like little flowers and grass growing as she walks because she's all happy right now.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the doors opens and someone doesn't immediately come out of it. And that's because it is Lunar Lenses. And so you've stopped at that door and Lunar Lenses inside. She has a cast on her leg and looks pretty beat up because she was taken down through combat.
Yeah.
And she's handcuffed to the wall, actually, as well.
Because she's the best. I'm going to go... Is the handcuff like a real key or an electronic key?
Let's say it's also an electronic key.
Okay. I'm going to run up to her and scan the key and open the cuffs and like hold her and be like, oh my God, Lens, I'm here. We're going to get you out of here. We're all going to get out of here.
And she just like wraps her arms around you and she... just sort of like gives a little like tired laugh and goes, I knew you would come and I'm worried that this will only make things worse. But you're right. Now it's done. We have to move. And she's shifting your labels. She's lowering your superior and raising your savior.
My savior can't go up anymore, but I will literally take anything she gives me.
Okay.
So I mark the condition. I'm going to mark guilty.
Okay.
Because I feel bad that it got this bad.
Okay.
And that I'm letting her down.
Okay. So the next panel shows the prisoners leaving. And like, there's not an enormous amount of prisoners here. This is not their only detention facility. But like, you know, you're holding up Lunar Lens. Hermosa Vida made quick work of the Striped Eagle. The Striped Eagle armor is just like tied to one of the doors with all sorts of vines running through it and everything. But you can see like she's still trying to move around in it and she's not screaming in pain. So it's not like this was something horrific. It just looks a little weird with all like the pieces of plant matter coming from between the cracks in the armor.
I'm going to get Lens's arm like over my shoulder and try to lift her up and help her out into the hallway. And I'm just going to try my best to get her out of the building. Like I know I'm in the middle of a battle zone, but right now my sole purpose is to get her to safety more than it is to fight.
And at that point, we see back in the big conflict, Holly is still held by Puck, super strength, but she turns her head to Frequency and goes, somebody is breaking open a detention facility right now.
It's not one of my people.
It's not one of ours either. Can we end this quickly? Bring the villains in and just come back to this. Like, I'll meet you for lunch. We'll have a coffee. We'll figure things out.
Sounds fine. Just let the officers do their job.
Roll to provoke.
4, but that's a 4 on the dice.
Okay.
Plus superior is 3, 7.
Okay, great. She glares at you for a minute and goes, fine, fine. Yes, okay. Are you going to help me stop the escapees?
Are any of them a threat to the city?
They wouldn't have been taken in if they weren't a threat.
Just like Lunar Lens?
And she just, she's trying, going to try to pull herself free of Puck.
She's going to try to pull herself free, and Puck is going to grab her and almost like, again, like give her a bear hug and try to like pull her very close. And he is going to, so one component of it is he is going to try to give her back the memories of that moment when they were on, like he still has all the memories of the history of Pterosaur that he grabbed from Pterosaur, and he's going to give her those memories again of Pterosaur being of Pterosaur being captured and released by Falcon, of them together, of him giving her these memories before from his point of view, memories of like from the prison from the underwater facility of Falcon capturing like innocent people. And all, like, he'll probably omit all of the actual criminals that he actually released, but like all of them, those memories. And he's just going to whisper to her, did you ever meet the original Striped Eagle? Was this the Falcon that she would have wanted?
She's not dead.
But she's not in control of Falcon anymore.
She's not in control of Falcon anymore,
And so I don't know if that's... So there's a couple things.
Yeah.
So I don't know if... So there's one version of that.
I have one question for you first. I think it's going to maybe affect some things in a minute, but I want to say it now.
Okay.
When you are adding memories to someone, do you pick up surface memories from around the same time? Like, would things that connect... Like, would you get... Because as you're putting in these memories related to the Pterosaur, is there a possibility you'd get, like, some feedback from other things? Because you're trying to essentially trying to repair her memory for that part.
I don't know. I guess it's possible.
That's maybe something we haven't seen
yet. We haven't seen that yet.
So,
like, if someone has intentionally tampered with those memories, like she has different versions, then that would be something that he would like come up against.
So here's what comes up as like kind of like your mind slides along this, right? Because you find the gap. And there is a gap in her memory that you're putting it into that makes it whole again. There isn't like a replaced version. It's just the gap for that information. And you find a memory that is her in a tank of water and electricity going through the tank and screaming.
Okay.
And that just like hits you for a minute.
Is it like a Falcon tank? Do I not know that?
You can't see.
I can't see.
It's through a greenish liquid.
It's probably from her eyes, too.
It's from her eyes, exactly. So you see, you have like a...
Is that a memory, she has?
That's a memory that she has.
Then I would definitely... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, which is, so it's from her eyes.
Okay.
So she has a memory of being in a green tank and like being electrocuted and feeling that. And that is connected to the hole in her memory. I think basically you're persuading someone with their best interests using your powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to mark my doom track.
Okay.
Because...
You can use an adult move.
Yeah, I have bolstered. I can mark my doom track to use an adult move one time.
Okay.
So I'm going to mark that. I'm up to 4 of 5.
Nice.
And I'm going to persuade with best interests.
Roll plus superior.
Which is -1.
Great.
8. So persuade with best interest. If they're an NPC, on a 10 plus, they buy it and act accordingly. On a 7 to 9, they need concrete assurance right now. Did you ever meet the original Striped Eagle? Was this the Falcon that she would have wanted? Is this what she envisioned? Is the C in Falcon, does it stand for coordination, or does it stand for control? And so what he's trying to say is like, Falcon was an organization founded by the name, her namesake, as an organization to bring people together to fight crime. And they are now an organization that is like they are rejecting his crime fighting and everyone's crime fighting and these mutants and saying, you are not good enough to fight crime with us. And like, he's trying to provoke her to not only like let this not happen now, but to maybe even like take actions to fix Falcon going forward.
And so she just like has a moment of shock on her face, and she looks like she's putting things together suddenly with like the experience of having her memories modified. And she says, "How do I know I can believe you? Tell me your name."
John would, instead of telling her his name, mm-hmm. would give her memories that included his name.
Yeah, that's what she's looking for.
But are like specifically like the memories of him as a young child with his dog, like playing in the woods, his dog dying, like the whole story mm-hmm. of like him like coming across the witches and the whole like giving him like not only telling her his name, but giving her like the story of how he became doomed.
Yeah. And she like shudders through all of that and leans close and says, so that only you can hear, "John Hobb, there is someone who wants to kill you very badly."
"I know."
And then she just like turns and repulses up into the air to go to the Falcon facility. She's going to see what the hell is going on and handle this. And the rest of the Striped Eagle Corps starts to blast off after her. So what are you doing, heroes, here?
Kalina just collapses.
Okay.
He's exhausted. This is very high stress. He doesn't know an awful lot about what's going on. He just knows that people have really wildly different opinions, and we almost got into like an all-out brawl with a law enforcement agency.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know whether by backing Ben up, he's advocating for something he disagrees with. He just doesn't know who he is right now. And it's less of a physical exhaustion and like just he's like mentally broken.
How many people are still around us? Like all the Striped Eagles left?
All the Striped Eagles left. The police are now getting out of their van
mm-hmm.
and going to bring the three criminals into their van.
I think that
like with like really hesitant looks on their faces. Yeah.
And John and Puck would nod and like wave at them and he would kind of crouch down next to Sokotoa and put a hand on his shoulder and just be like, "Thank you for backing me up."
"Yeah, no problem, man."
"A nice new costume. Is it it's black, it's very sleek, it's very good. It's slimming. Not that you need
it." "Yeah. I don't know if I'm gonna wear it again."
"Hey, I mean, try new things."
Is he trying to comfort and support me?
You might be. That might sounds be. Like a comfort and support. I like it.
Mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6 minus 1.
5?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so I think that the way that this really like fails is that there's like a beat and then Puck goes, "It needs antlers. Have you tried antlers? It's a good thing. Works for me."
And you're pretty sure he's making fun of you at this point. Uh-oh. Like it seems like he's telling you that like your Sokotoa personality isn't good enough. So he's shifting your mundane up and your savior down.
I cannot shift my mundane up, but I would have.
Okay.
Had I been able to, so I will mark a condition.
Okay.
I'm going to mark hopeless. I take off my mask.
Mm-hmm.
I like am starting to take off the costume. I have like street clothes.
Yeah.
Underneath. And I'm just like going to walk down to the street and I'm going to take out my phone and just call my dad.
Okay.
And be like, "I need a ride."
And your dad is like, "Kalina, I thought you were upstairs." "No, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Don't worry. Thank you for calling." And you give him the address and everything. And we get a couple panels that shows him like quickly brushing like popcorn off of himself and like running and putting on some slippers and grabbing some keys to run out to go pick up his son. Ben, what are you up to?
So with all of this resolved, and I'm sure normal everyday citizens are just kind of just going home.
Yeah, the mutants are kind of like, there's a couple mutants high-fiving. They thought that went really well.
They might just be going back to the bar.
Yeah.
Jerry's inviting them back.
Jerry's like, round of beers on me. And they start heading back to the bar.
Ben sort of turns around from that, mm-hmm. sort of walking away from it. And probably, some type of communicator mm-hmm. or something. Sage, you don't need to contact me back. I'm sorry for what went down, but I hope you're open to talking about it sometime. And I hope you understand where I was coming from. I wasn't trying to push you out, but I have a bad feeling that whatever's going down at Falcon right now, it's probably you. I just want to let you know they're on their way.
We get a panel that shows the prisoners getting out, and like you've got Lunar Lens on your shoulder, and the night sky is just filled with glowing lights from the repulsors of Striped Eagles.
Ben, the time for apologies is not right now. They hurt her. She can't walk, and we're surrounded. I need you to show up for me. Whose side are you really on?
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at And the Meltdowns. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at _Starkey_. Penance is played by me, Elsbeth Dedman, and I can be found on Twitter at TheCatOnTheWall. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at RHarvey1211. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.